Morning.
早上好。
How is everyone?
大家都好吗？
Before we begin, let's have a word of prayer.
开始之前，先有一点祷告。
Father God,
父神，
when we come before you in your word, we thank you for providing it.
当我们在你的话的里面来到你跟前，我们实在是感恩。
Lord, and we thank you for opening it to us through the Holy Spirit.
主，我们谢谢你，你借着圣灵将它向我们打开。
May you help us through this time.
愿你是在借着这个时间。
Lord, to appreciate the great will that you have for us.
帮我们更加的来感激你这个奇妙的旨意。
We thank you in Jesus' name.
我们奉耶稣基督名祷告。Amen.
Hello, brothers and sisters.
弟兄姐妹们好。
I'm thankful to be standing here today as we fellowship in the Word of God.
我实在是很感恩今天能站在这里，我们一起在神的话语里面有一些交通。
From the Book of Acts.Today, chapter 7, verses 1 through 16.
今天，在《使徒行传》第七章一到十六节里。
And this passage deals with something that is quite foreign to people today.
这段经文所说的，其实对很多人来说，确实有点陌生。
And that concept is inheritance.
那个所说的话题就是产业。
You might be surprised to hear me say that inheritance is something we don't really understand.
你或许对于我说产业，我们并不是很熟悉，感到有一些惊奇。
But give me a chance to explain.
但是请允许我来解释一下。
Today, our conception of inheritance is so clouded, by what the government does.
在今天，我们对产业的这个概念，其实是因着政府所做的，导致有一点模糊。
What I mean by this is a lot of how we think about inheritance today comes from what we expect to receive and what we plan to leave.
我的意思是，今天我们对着产业这个概念，是从我们期待着所要承受的或得到的来理解。
And because that it's all about what we receive and what we leave behind.
因为这是说到了我们所要得到的或者我们要留下的这个概念。
And obviously there's taxes involved.
而且这也就涉及到了税的问题。
And because of that, inheritance has become almost purely a financial matter.
并且因着这个原因，产业很多时候成为一个金钱上或者金融上的问题。
At most, it's a little sentimental.
最多来说，或者你实在要说的话，其实有一点情感的原因在里面。
So among some families, there might be a practice of passing on family heirlooms.
所以在有些家庭里面，或许有传家宝的这个东西。
So things like watches, jewelry, or other things that have sentimental value to family members.
就像是手表或者珠宝或者其他有情感价值的东西，或者会被传递到其他的家庭成员里面。
But inheritance in Israel's history wasn't just that.
但是产业在以色列的历史里面并不仅仅说到这些。
It was a part of their life.
是，其实是他们生活的一部分。
It was a part of their everyday life.
其实是他们每一天生活不可缺乏的一部分。
Inheritance wasn't just about passing on their valuables to the next generation.
产业不仅仅是把你值钱的东西传到下一代的手里。
Or providing for them, or reminding them of their family.
或者是给他们生计的方法。或者是让他们记得家庭这个家族的传承。
For much of the history of the Israelite people, inheritance included this idea of legacy.
在大部分 犹太人的历史的里面，产业包括了传承的这个概念。
In ancient times, inheritance wasn't just about who gets what.
在古时候，产业并不只是说这个人可以得到什么。
It was also about the continuation of a legacy.
更是说到一个传承的延续。
Essentially, what the family stands for, their raison d'être.
基本上就是说到这个整个家族他们所支持的他们所信靠的他们的信条。
Fathers not only pass down possessions once they're dead.
父辈们不仅仅传递的是他们所拥有的，就是当他们离世的时候。
But also a value system and a way of being over the course of their son's life.
但更多的是一个价值观的体系，并且是要影响他们祖辈一生的生活。
So in today's passage, we'll see a twofold reflection of the inheritance God intended for His people.
所以在今天的经文里，我们看见有两方面关于神的产业是怎么样给他的百姓来思考的方向。
One, the inheritance of Israel, which they have thus far failed to receive.
一方面是给着以色列人的产业，就是他们直到如今他们没有成功的得到，完全的得到。
From the other perspective, that of Christ carried on and received by Stephen.
那另一方面的产业就是基督所得到并且被斯提凡在这里所传承的。
Let's read today's passage.
让我们一起来读今天的经文。
And please feel free to read along in whatever language you prefer.
你可以读你你喜欢的语言。
And the high priest said, Are these things so? And Stephen said, Brothers and fathers, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran, and said to him, Go out from your land and from your kindred and go into the land that I will show you. Then he went out from the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran. And after his father died, God removed him from there into this land in which you are now living. Yet he gave him no inheritance in it, not even a foot's length, but promised to give it to him as a possession and to his offspring after him, though he had no child. And God spoke to this effect, that his offspring would be sojourners in a land belonging to others who will enslave them and afflict them 400 years. But I will judge the nation that they serve, said God, and after that they shall come out and worship me in this place. And he gave them the covenant of circumcision. So Abraham became the father of Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob of the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs, jealous of Joseph, sent him into Egypt, but God was with him, and rescued him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who made him ruler over Egypt and over all his household. Now there came a famine throughout all Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers could find no food. But when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent out our fathers on their first visit. And on the second visit, Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and Joseph's family became known to Pharaoh. And Joseph sent and summoned Jacob his father and all his kindred, 75 persons in all. And Jacob went down into Egypt, and he died, he and our fathers. And they were carried back to Shechem, and laid in the tomb that Abraham had bought for a sum of silver from the son of Hamor and Shechem. Of all the speeches and sermons recorded in the Bible,
在圣经中所有所记载的发言和传的道，
Stephen's is easily one of the longest recorded.
施提凡在这里所说的是几乎是最长的之一。
And of those, Stephen as a person gets the least by way of formal introduction.
但是斯提凡却是一个他我们知道他的正式的这种介绍最少的人。
Of course, Brother Jeff last week gave us an introduction as to who Stephen was.
当然我们的 Jeff 弟兄上一周告诉了我们斯提凡这是一个怎么样的人。
And while we know nothing about his life prior to coming to Christ,
虽然我们不知道他在认识 基督之前的生活是怎么样的。
We know that as a Christian, this was a man who resembled Christ in every way.
我们却知道，作为一个基督徒，他是一个有基督样式的人，在每一个方面都是这样的。
Today, we'll see him exemplify Christ's character as he speaks.
今天我们就看到他如何展现了基督的品格，在他所传的道理。
And in this sermon, we see Stephen manifest Jesus' teaching.
在这篇所传的道理，我们也看见施提凡他高举了基督的教导。
In Jesus in Luke chapter 12 predicted this exact situation.
耶稣在路加福音第十二章就说到了这样的情况。
And when they bring you before the synagogues and rulers and authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say.
第十二章十一到第十二节，有人带你们到会堂，官长和掌权的人面前，不要担心怎么答辩，说什么话，因为就在那时候，圣灵要指教你们该说的话。
So in this situation, Stephen was charged with speaking against Moses, against God, against the temple, and against the law and customs handed down by Moses.
所以在这种情况下，施提凡他被指控来说背弃摩西、背弃神、背弃圣殿、背弃律法、背弃摩西所传下来所有遗传的话。
And throughout his message, Stephen clearly addresses every charge against him, making clear he is not their enemy.
但通过他的信息，施提凡清晰的他应对了每一个对他的指控，并且阐述了他并不是那个敌人。
However, he also doesn't pull any punches.
不仅如此，他也没有任何的保留。
It's a sermon that traces God's historical dealings with Egypt, with Israel.
这是一个道，它清晰地追溯了神在历史里面是怎么样应对以色列和以色列人他们的行为。
Israel's history of rebellion against God.
在以色列人背逆神的历史里面。
And ultimately indicts his audience of the very charges they have now brought against him.
并且也阐述了，并且最终他将他这些说话的人，他们带到他给他的指控，带到了他们自己的身上。
So they were guilty of rejecting Moses and the law.
就是说到这些指控他们的人，实则是真的，应该，应该是对于违背摩西律法 而感到亏欠。
And even worse, they had just killed the Messiah whom God had sent for their salvation.
那更糟糕的是，他们杀了弥赛亚，就是神差遣来为着要带给他们救恩的那一位。
So the Holy Spirit here makes clear through Stephen.
所以圣灵在这里很清晰地借着斯提凡说道，
that they have yet another opportunity to recognize and repent from their rejection of God's Messiah.
这些人有再一次的机会来认识到，并且从他们对神弥赛亚的拒绝和叛逆中悔改。
And through him, yet another opportunity to accept the promised inheritance.
并且看到通过斯提凡，他们有再次能够得到这个被应许的产业的机会。
So he desperately, Stephen, tries to get his audience to repent and believe in Jesus.
所以我们清楚地看到斯提凡真的是 很急迫地想要听他道的人来悔改，并且来相信。
And then we'll see Stephen tell the Sanhedrin about God's promise and leading of Abraham.
并且我们也看见斯提凡他告诉了公会是
God's promise and leading of Abraham.
神在亚伯拉罕上面的带领和应许。
Beginning this relationship between God and man.
就是这个神和人之间的关系是怎么样开始的。
Through this story that they knew well.
通过这些人他们所非常熟悉的故事。
Stephen showed God's working in ways different from what man might expect.
斯提凡就展示了神的工作是怎么样与人的期待所不同的。
And finally, we and the Sanhedrin are reminded of how God remained faithful.
最后，我们同时也是当时的公会被再次提醒，神在人的在不同的情况里面，在人的人的偏离的里面，他依然信实。
And so even through carrying them through detours and outside, and he carried out his plans outside of the promised land.
即使中间有很多的曲折，即使神在这边有很多的曲折，但是他的工作一直同样是被完成，虽然在应许之地之外。
So let's begin by looking at verse 1.
让我们一起来看第一节。
So some have said that this passage, Stephen testifies to the Lord rather than defend himself.
有人说这一段的经文是斯提凡对着主来见证，而不单单是他为自己辩护。
I'm amazed by this because while Stephen does rebut every charge against him,
我实在是对于这段经文在这里非常的惊奇，因为斯提凡他在这里不仅仅是清晰的反驳了对他的每一个指控。
He's clearly not primarily concerned with his own defense.
他很清晰的，我们也看见他不仅仅是担忧着自己的辩护。
The synagogues that seized him had accused him of some things.
当时犹太的会堂抓捕他，并且控诉他以下的这些。
We already talked about what those are.
我们已经说了这些是什么。
Just like Jesus, Stephen was on trial for trumped up charges.
就像耶稣一样，斯提凡在这里被指控的是捏造的或者是莫须有的罪名。
And in fact, it's the very same trumped up charges that Jesus was charged with.
事实上，这是和当时耶稣被同样指控的罪名。
In Matthew chapter 26, verses 60 through 65, we saw.
在马太福音二十六章六十到六十五节，我们看见。
But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, "This man said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days.'" And the high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy."
马太福音二十六章，虽然有好些人来做假见证，总找不到实据，最后有两个人前来说，这个人曾说，我能拆毁上帝的殿，三日内又建造起来。大祭司就站起来对耶稣说，这些人作证告你的事，你什么都不回答吗？耶稣却不言语。大祭司对他说，我指着永生上帝命令你，岂是告诉我们你是不是基督，上帝的儿子？耶稣对他们说，你们自己说了，然而我告诉你们，此后你们要看见人子坐在全能者的右边，驾着天上的云来临。大祭司就撕裂衣服说，他说了亵渎的话，我们何必再要见证人呢？现在你们已经听见他这亵渎的话了。
At this point, Stephen should have known what was coming.
在这时候，斯提凡应该能意识到将要发生什么事了。
But that didn't deter him from continuing to proselytize.
但这些事情没有阻止他继续来传道。
There's no way he would not have felt the imminent danger facing him.
这不可能，他不意识到马上将要来临，所要他要面对的危险。
It was clear that he was going to die.
非常清楚的就是看见他要面临死亡了。
And not only that, but he will be executed in a gruesome and painful manner.
不仅仅如此，他会被一个残暴并且痛苦的方式而处死。
And this is specifically prescribed for the offense of blasphemy, stoning.
这就是专门对付着亵渎罪所处罚的方式，用石头砸死。
This in itself is a testament to whom Stephen was.
这个本身就是对着斯提凡他的人格的一个见证。
Because he had other responsibilities.
因为他有别的责任。
He could have left the spreading of the truth to the apostles.
他可以让传递真理的工作留给其他的使徒。
He had his job to feed the people.
他的责任是喂饱其他的人。
However, he chose to speak the truth.
然而他选择了说真理。
The word of God.
神的话。
And his responses here also serve as an echo of Jesus.
他在这边的回应就成为了对基督的一个映照。
This kind of life, in fact, is not unique to Stephen.
这样的生活却不单单是斯提凡所独有的。
We've seen this kind of life from Christians throughout history.
我们看见在历史上基督徒不同的基督徒有同样的生命。
We've sometimes sung this song called Von Guten Mächten.
有时候我们唱这首诗歌所有美善的力量。
And that song was written by a German preacher called Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
这首诗歌是德国的传教者迪特里华潘霍华所写的。
And this was written while he was awaiting death in a Nazi prison.
他所写的时候呢，是他在纳粹的集中营里等待着死亡的来临。
He had many opportunities to continue his ministry outside of Germany.
他之前有很多的机会在德国以外的地方继续他的传福音的事工。
But he remained and was eventually arrested and executed for his political activities.
但是他留在了那边，并且最终为着他所谓政治的活动而被处死了。
Choosing not to protect himself and instead continuing to advocate for the truth.
选择了不是保护自己，而是为着真理继续而发声。
And this is the life of Christ in a Christian.
这就是基督在每一个基督徒生命的表现。
We all have times where it's more convenient. In fact, we have excuses to not acknowledge God.
我们都有这样的机会，是更方便，或者说我们有各样的借口来不承认神的作为。
However, this is a part of the inheritance of God.
但是这却是神的产业的一部分。
To face unfair accusations for his sake.
就是为着他的缘故来面对不公平的指责。
How we react.
我们如何来反应回应。
Whether defensively.
是只是为自己辩护吗？
Or use it as an opportunity to advance his word.
还是用着这个机会来兴旺他的话。
This shows the maturity of our life.
就展现了我们生命有多么的成熟。
And we see in this chapter how Stephen exemplifies this legacy.
那我们就在这章能看见施提凡他是怎么样表现出他是拥有这个传承。
This legacy of which he is a part, carrying it and passing it on through his testimony, the life of Christ that is in him.
这个传承他是他里面的一部分，他也拿着他持守着他也把它传递下去，这是借着他在基督他的生命里他的见证。
Now since Stephen wants to convict and convince his audience,
因为斯提凡他的目的不但是要让他所的听到的人自己自责，而且要让他们相信。
He begins his sermon with a story of God's people that they are intimately familiar with.
他传道的道是以着神百姓非常熟悉 并且无可啊、无可分辨的一段历史而开始。
This sermon begins with showing that God has worked in many places and many ways.
这段啊、福音的这段道是以着啊、神他怎么样在不同的地方、不同的方式来工作而开始的。
And so he is not limited to the land of Canaan or to the temple.
所以这不仅仅是说到迦南地或者说到圣殿 这两个事情。
Like Abraham, who obediently followed the Lord, so God's people must go where he leads.
正如亚伯拉罕、就是那位非常顺服的跟随着神的那一位，神的百姓也要如此来跟随他的带领。
In verses 2 through 8,
在第二到第八节里面，
the Holy Spirit presents the subject matter we're dealing with.
圣灵在这边就向我们展示了我们要处理的这个问题，
which is the relationship and the promise of God with Abraham.
就是神与亚伯拉罕的关系和他们之间神的应许。
I'll read the verses once again, but since we read it earlier, I'll just read it. And Stephen said, Brothers and fathers, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran, and said to him, Go out from your land and from your kindred, and go into the land that I will show you. Then he went out from the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran. After his father died, God removed him from there into this land in which you are now living. Yet he gave him no inheritance in it, not even a foot's length, but promised to give it to him as a possession and to his offspring after him, though he had no children. And God spoke to this effect, that his offspring would be sojourners in a land belonging to others, who would enslave them and afflict them 400 years. But I will judge the nation that they serve, said God, and after that they shall come out and worship me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham became the father of Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day. And Isaac became the father of Jacob, and Jacob of the 12 patriarchs. So Stephen begins by telling his accusers a story that is very familiar.
所以在这里我们再次看见斯提凡，他是以告诉所有指责他各样罪行的人一个故事，这个故事是他们不可能再熟悉不过的。
And he begins the story of God's promised inheritance at the very beginning.
那他在这里是说到神对着产业的应许。
The very beginning of it.
在最开始的时候。
And which is the calling of Abraham.
就是神对亚伯拉罕的呼召。
But even before that,
但在那之前，
we see that he addresses his audience as brothers and fathers.
我们还要留意到他对着他所要听众所用的称谓是弟兄和、父老兄弟兄们。
It was a common practice for Jews to refer to one another as brothers.
当时以色列人常常称呼彼此为父老弟兄们。
Just as today we refer to people in the church as brothers.
正如今天我们在教会里面会彼此称呼弟兄姐妹。
Similarly, he referred to the Sanhedrin as fathers.
所以当时他就用着父老来对、公会说话。
And this was the usual title by which the Sanhedrin was addressed.
这是当时、常用的一个称谓来对公会的人说话。
Stephen was perfectly respectful.
斯提凡在这里非常的对他们尊敬。
And showed that even though they had dishonorably slandered him, he was perfectly willing to render appropriate honor to their authority.
这就说明了，虽然这些人非常、非常不、虽然这些人诽谤了他，但是他还是愿意去、给他们应得的尊重。
Not only did Stephen give respect to his audience,
不单单 是斯提凡要对他所听的人给他们应有的尊重。
Once we get into the meat of it, he addressed God in a very particular way as well.
但当我们进入这个道的里面，我们看见他对神的称谓也是非常特别的。
In verse 2, this particular name of God, the God of glory.
在第二节，这里说到荣耀的上帝，这个非常特别的称谓。
Yahakavod only appeared one time in the entire Hebrew Bible.
在这个称谓仅仅在希伯来文的圣经里出现了一次。
Psalm 29 verse 3.
就是诗篇29章第三节。
The voice of Jehovah is on the waters, the God of glory hath thundered. Jehovah is on many waters.
耶华的声音在众水之上，荣耀的上帝打雷。耶华打雷在大水之上。
This is a psalm that aims to exalt the Lord.
这是一段要高举神的诗篇。
And this is a psalm that emphasizes God's omnipotence.
也是重点说明了神他的全能。
Stephen knew this.
斯提凡清楚地知道这个。
The elders of the Sanhedrin knew this.
所有公会的长老也非常清楚地认识这个。
And Stephen knew the elders knew this.
斯提凡也知道这些长老们知道这个。
And so the Holy Spirit uses this name to evoke a very specific and particular purpose.
因此圣灵在这里用了这个名字来说明一个非常特别和独特的意义。
With this statement, God, Stephen gives glory to God.
神通过这一个陈述来把荣耀归给了神。
And he uses this to emphasize just how monumental this relationship is that God began with Abraham.
他用了这个来强调神和亚伯拉罕所开始的关系是那么的宏大。
When God spoke to Abraham,
当神对亚伯拉罕说话的时候，
he listened.
他就听从了。
We remember his calling from Genesis chapter 11 and 12.
我们还记得在创世纪11到12章神的呼召是怎么样的。
This was the God of glory.
这是荣耀的神。
The one true God.
那位唯一的真神。
And yet he appeared to a mere mortal man.
然而他却向一个一个凡人显现了。
And led him.
并且带领他。
He had a plan for Abraham.
他对着在亚伯拉罕身上有他的计划。
Even while he lived in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran.
即使亚伯拉罕之前住在美索不达米亚，在他来到哈兰之前。
God was not deterred by the iniquity of Ur of the Chaldeans.
那神也没有被当地这个乌尔的加勒底人他们的罪恶所的计划，他们神的计划也没有被当地乌尔的加勒底人的罪孽所阻挡。
The Holy Spirit wanted these people to know that God appeared to Abraham even though he lived in the most sinful place on the planet.
圣灵在这里通过斯提凡就想让人们知道神向着亚伯拉罕的显现是虽然他住在最充满罪恶的地方，在这个地球上最充满罪恶的地方，神还是在那里向他显现了。
God's calling of Abraham and his relationship with him began before the actual physical promised land came into the picture.
所以神对亚伯兰的呼召和他与亚伯兰的关系其实是在这个应许之地之前就已经在他的计划里面。
And if that's the case, then how can the promised land be the end-all be-all of God's relationship?
那如果是这样的情况的话，那这个应许的地怎么就会是所有一切的终点呢？
How can it be the extent of God's plan for his people?
这应许之地怎么就会是神在他百姓上所有计划的全部呢？
And it's the same for us.
这对我们来说其实也是一样的。
God reached to us.
神神对我们伸出我们的手，向我们伸出他的手。
God's plan for Abraham began long before Abraham knew anything about it.
神在亚伯拉罕身上的计划，在亚伯拉罕认识任何一切之前就开始了。
In this, God chose him and not the other way around.
神拣选了他，而不是相反的，他拣选了神。
We were chosen by God before we knew anything about him.
我们在认识关于神任何一切之前就被神拣选了。
It is entirely his grace and mercy that such a God of glory would deign to have a relationship with us.
这完全是出于神的恩典和怜悯，这样一位荣耀的神愿意定义要与我们有一个关系。
He reached to us where we were, even though we could not have been further from the promised land.
无论我们当时在哪里，他对我们伸出了手，也无论我们是不是离这个应许之地很远，他就他也向我们伸出了他的手。
Never does God explain why he called Abraham.
神从来没有解释为什么他呼召亚伯拉罕。
Nor does he tell Abraham where the promised land is.
他也没有告诉亚伯拉罕这个应许之地在哪里。
What he assures Abraham is that he will show him a land and give that land to him.
他所向亚伯拉罕保证的是他会向他展示这个地，并且把这个地给他。
God chose Abraham.
神拣选亚伯拉罕。
And he said, come with me, I have a surprise for you.
他说，跟着我来吧，我有一个给你大的惊喜。
Don't worry, you'll like it.
别担心，你会喜欢的。
And this is the foundation of God's covenant relationship with his people.
那这就是神与他的百姓建立在约上的关系的一个根基。
Stephen's audience knew these scriptures better than any of us possibly could.
斯提凡的听斯提凡的人认识这些经文大概比我们每一位都要好。
They knew and they believed this promise.
听的人他们知道并且也相信这样的应许。
But through this promise,
但是通过这样的应许，
we can see the imagery of God's promised Messiah.
我们就可以看到神所应许那位弥赛亚的形象。
As we get into verse 5 and onwards,
当我们来到第五节并且往后的时候，
Stephen begins to get deeper into the relevance of the current situation.
斯提凡就更加的深入地讨论了这个跟他现在所面对的情况有什么关联。
Abraham didn't get his inheritance.
亚伯拉罕没有得到他的产业。
While he was alive.
在他活的时候他没有。
But he continues to receive this inheritance through his descendants.
但是通过他的后裔，他持续的不断的来他最终承受了这段产业。
Things didn't work out as simply as people might assume.
人们所假设的并不是事情可能真实发生的样子。
While God identified the land Abraham was to receive as inheritance, he didn't actually get to take possession of it.
虽然神帮助亚伯拉罕认识到他要得到怎么样的产业，但是他没有真实的来拥有它。
Over the course of Abraham's life, he believed that God gave him an inheritance.
在亚伯拉罕的一生中，他相信神给了他一样产业。
But he had trouble reconciling that with the fact that he had no children.
但是他却是对着这个应许，感到不能与事实，就是他没有后裔的这个事实感到匹配。
And so he tried to work around it.
所以他用自己的方法来完成它。
He kept Lot around for many, many, many years.
他在罗德附近很久。
And that wasn't what God wanted.
这不是神想要的。
He had Ishmael. That wasn't what God wanted.
他有了以实玛利，但是也不是神所想要的。
God wanted to fulfill his promise to Abraham through Isaac.
神想要通过以撒来成全他的应许。
And God gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision as a sign of a special relationship between God and man.
并且神给了亚伯罕、拉罕这个割礼的记号，来说明这是特别应许完成的记号。
Abraham in his faith,
亚伯罕在信心当中，
he understood that God's covenant with him was never primarily about giving him a piece of dirt to call home.
他明白了说，神给他的应许并不仅仅是给他一些土地来成为他的家园。
God wanted to have a relationship with Abraham and his descendants.
神盼望着和他并他的后裔有建立一个特别的关系。
And through that relationship, God wanted them to inherit not just the land that he was to give them.
并且通过那个通过那样的关系，神希望他们所继承的不单单只是那个地。
But also this legacy of faith and obedience to himself.
并且传承其中的信心和对他的顺从。
By retelling the story in front of the Sanhedrin,
借着在公会面前重新复述这样的故事，
Stephen reminds the Jewish people in front of him that yes, God gave them a promised land.
斯提凡就提醒了犹太人，是的，神给了他们应许之地。
But it wasn't direct.
但并不是通过直接的方法。
But it wasn't an accident.
也不是一个意外。
But it was because of God's will.
而是借着神的旨意。
He didn't just want to give them blessings in exchange for something.
神不仅仅是说要给他们祝福来换得其他的。
He wanted them to belong to him.
神希望他们来跟从而属于他。
Just so Stephen stands before the assembly of Israel now.
所以当斯提凡站在以色列人的会众面前，
urging them to accept that God gave Abraham Isaac to inherit inheritance.
来劝导他们来接受神给了亚伯拉罕他以赛亚的应许，通过他的儿子以撒。
And he has given Israel the Messiah to bring them into the promise of an eternal kingdom.
并且同样，他也是给了以色列人他们的弥赛亚，是通过同样的方法来带他们进入这个永恒国度的应许。
But just like in the time of Joseph, his brothers sold him for 20 pieces of silver.
但是正如在约瑟的时候，他的弟兄为了20块银币卖了他。
Judas sold Jesus to be killed by the Israelite leaders for 30 shekels of silver.
犹大为了30舍克拉的银子，卖了耶稣给，并且让他被以色列人的领袖所杀害。
In spite of this, God's plan was not derailed.
但是无论任何的这些所发生的事情，神的计划还是没有改变。
We read on in verse 9.
我们再看第九节。
And the patriarchs, again, since we read it before, I'll just read it through it quickly. And the patriarchs, jealous of Joseph, sold him into Egypt, but God was with him and rescued him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who made him ruler over Egypt and over all his household. Now there came a famine throughout all Egypt and Canaan and great affliction, and our fathers could find no food. But when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent out our fathers on their first visit. And on the second visit, Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and Joseph's family became known to Pharaoh. And Joseph sent and summoned Jacob his father and all his kindred, 75 persons in all. And Jacob went down into Egypt, and he died, and he and our fathers. And they were carried back to Shechem and laid in the tomb that Abraham had bought for a sum of silver from the sons of Hamor in Shechem. Just as with Abraham,
正如和亚伯拉罕当时发生的一样，
and perhaps more so,
而且可能在一个更高的程度，
We see the Holy Spirit emphasize parts of history that happened outside of the Promised Land.
我们看见圣灵在这里强调的是以色列人在应许之地以外的一部分历史。
Can we say that God's work or blessing for his people was any less outside in the days of Joseph?
我们能说神的祝福在他百姓身上是有任何减少吗？就是在约瑟以外的日子。
And just because the patriarchs and God took them out of Canaan.
并且神，我们可以说，仅仅是因为这些先祖，神带领他们离开迦南地吗？
No, of course not.
并不是这样的。
This was a great time of God's working.
这是神，神在这神工作奇妙的时候。
Stephen points out to the Sanhedrin that just as in those days,
斯提凡向众公会说明，正如就像在那些日子里。
What was important was not the land of Canaan where Jacob and his sons dwelt.
重要的并不是雅各和他子孙所住的迦南地。
But the place that God was working and speaking.
而重要的是神工作和说话的地方。
That was in Egypt.
那个地方当时是在埃及。
With Joseph.
在约瑟身上。
God's hand was on Joseph.
神的手是在约瑟的身。
In spite of the wickedness of his brothers selling him into Egypt.
即使在他的弟兄他们的罪恶让他把他卖到了埃及当奴隶。
So throughout the history of the Israelites,
在整个以色列人的历史，这可能是第一次。
This might be the first time, but it certainly won't be the last time that they tried to kill God's messenger.
但是可能并不是最后一次，以色列人尝试杀害神的使者。
Just as Jesus pointed out in Matthew chapter 21 and 22.
正如耶稣在马太福音第二十一章二十二章里所提及的。
Israel repeatedly rejected God's message and messenger.
以色列人一而再再而三地拒绝了神的信息和神的使者。
But in the end, God's purpose is accomplished.
但是到最后，神的旨意还是得到了完全。
With Joseph,
借着约瑟,
God sovereignly used the famine in Canaan to preserve Jacob and all his descendants.
神用着他的主权，通过当时的饥荒，在迦南地的饥荒，来保护了这个约瑟，并且让雅各他们进入埃及。
So he brought Jacob and all his descendants into Egypt where Joseph could care for them.
所以那时候雅各就把他的所有的子孙就带回埃及，然后约瑟可以为他们提供食物。
So God's sovereignty and grace are seen in the way that he protected this nation for 400 years.
所以神的主权和他的恩典可以清楚地被看见，就是他来在这四百年中如何保护这个他的国度。
Stephen is broaching the fact that these Jewish leaders persecuted and killed Jesus.
斯提凡在这里提及犹太人的领袖是怎么样来迫害并且杀害耶稣，这是事实。
Just as Joseph's brothers attempted to remove him.
正如约瑟的弟兄当时想要把他卖掉，把他除掉。
In trying to stand up for what they thought was God's will.
他们觉得他们当时是为着神的旨意在工作。
But they have in fact been working against him.
但他们事实上却是与神的旨意背道而为。
Don't we all do the same?
我们不是也这样做吗？
We reject what God tells us.
我们拒绝神要我们做的。
Maybe not on the big things, but on the small things for sure.
或者不是重要的事情，但至少在小的事情上也是如此。
We think God should work in a certain way, and so we try to force him.
我们觉得神应当按着某种方式 来工作，我们要迫使他这样做。
So Stephen tells us using the example of God's work through Joseph.
所以神告诉我们，在通过了神他工在约瑟身上的例子。
God is sovereign and faithful.
神是有主权的，并且是信实的。
Despite people making a mess of things,
虽然人把事情搞得一团糟，
God is able to work through it all.
神还是有办法在其中工作。
God blessed Joseph despite his circumstances.
神祝福了约瑟，在他当时所面对所有的情况之下，
and used him as a blessing for his entire people.
并且使用他作为对他所有百姓的一个祝福。
Thankfully for us,
我们何等感恩，对我们来说，
despite his brother's roles in selling him into slavery in the first place, they were able to benefit.
虽然他的弟兄一开始把他卖成了奴隶，但是这个他们这些弟兄最后却能够得到这个的一些好处。
And they were able to benefit from God's consideration for Israel during this famine.
他们也能够在神为着以色列人在饥荒中所有的安排而得到利益。
They survived not just in spite of what they had done.
他们活了下来，不仅仅是除开他们所做的。
But the brother that they meant to kill was the one who delivered their salvation.
而且恰好相反，这个他们所要杀的那位兄弟就是来拯救他们的。
For the Sanhedrin of Stephen's time,
而在斯提凡当时的公会里，
this was another olive branch.
这就像另外的一个橄榄枝。
While he's pointing out that they killed God's chosen,
当他指出他杀害了神所拣选的时候，
Stephen at the same time he reaches out that so that the Jewish people can still accept salvation.
斯提凡在那时候，他也向当时的以色列人再次告诉他们，他们可以接受耶稣的救恩。
His point again was to remind the Israelites.
他的重点就是再一次提醒以色列人。
That their forefathers had rejected Joseph.
他们的先辈们曾经拒绝了约瑟。
But they knelt to him eventually.
但是最后，他们的先辈们却在约瑟面前下跪。
Similarly, they had rejected Christ.
同样的道理，他们也拒绝了基督。
And yet prophecies say that they will repent of the part they played in condemning him unjustly.
而先知的预言却告诉我们，他们最终会悔改，并且他们会因为他们不公正的来定罪耶稣而悔改。
This is in Zechariah chapter 12 verses 10 through 14.
这是在撒迦利亚书第十二章十到十四节里面我们所看见的。
The inheritance God intended to give Israel was not just land.
神所给以色列人的应许不仅仅是地。
He wanted his people to belong to him.
他想要他的百姓归属于他。
The land itself was just an outward sign of God's favor.
这个地的本身只是神的祝福里面外面的表现而已。
Where God really wanted to show his people favor by granting them himself.
他这个神的祝福里面，他神真的想要的是给他的百姓他自己。
He left them a legacy of grace, never forsaking his people.
他为他的百姓留下一个恩典的传承，永远不会丢弃他的百姓。
So even throughout their tumultuous history, even as they strayed.
即使在如此动荡的历史里面，即使他们何等的悖逆和偏离。
Today we are inheritors of that legacy because of faith.
神也没有丢弃他的百姓，如今我们是继承这个传承的那个得到的人，是因着信。
Just as God worked his will with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
正如基督是怎么样在亚伯拉罕、亚瑟和和约瑟雅各身上来工作。
To not only give them a promised land, but also make them a people dedicated to them, to him.
不单单是给他们一块应许之地，并且让他们成为那个归向他的百姓。
Despite their own resistance and disobedience.
虽然当中有很多他们的不愿、他们的挣扎和他们的背叛。
This disobedience allowed us to be included in God's promise.
这个不顺从就允许我们成为神的应许的一部分。
Our promised land is not a strip of land in the Middle East.
我们的应许之地也不是在中东某一个地方的一片土地。
But an eternal kingdom of God.
但却是神永恒的国度。
Being with him, belonging to him.
与他同在，属于他。
Likewise, circumcision was a sign of Israel's acceptance of God's covenant.
同样的道理，割礼是以色列人当时愿意接受神的约的一个记号。
And so the inheritance of Canaan is just a sign of the people's belonging to him.
同样的道理，承受迦南地只是神的百姓归属于他的一个记号。
We are inheritors of his kingdom.
我们是继承他天国的承受者。
And we ought to inherit the legacy of a people belonging to him.
我们也应当继承这个传承，就是他的百姓属于他。